Like to read now from 1 Samuel chapter 18, beginning in verse 12. The Word of God says, "And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul." Notice that verse very carefully. There are two very important statements that are made there. One is that the Lord was with David. And the second is that the Lord was departed from Saul. Did you know that God can depart from us? The Lord can depart from us. The Word of God tells us about Samson. As he was sinning, the Lord departed from him. And the Scripture says that Samson, on one occasion when he awoke, he began to try to carry out and manifest his strength. And the Scripture says that Samson knew not that the Lord had departed from him. Sometimes God has departed from us, and we don't even know that the Lord has departed. Sometimes we walk so far away from God and stay so far away from God that we don't even know that the Lord has departed from us. So the Lord was with David, and the Lord had departed from King Saul. Verse 13 says, "Therefore Saul removed him from him." That is, he removed David from him. Did you know people that are walking with the Lord and in the presence of God, other people don't want to be around them. If you're not walking with God, if you're not walking with God, you're not going to find pleasure in walking with those that are walking with God. So it is that King Saul just separated David from him and made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. Now listen carefully to verse 14. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 14 says, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, 'Behold, my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles.' For Saul said, 'Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him.'" What did he want to happen to David? He wanted him to be killed. Verse 18 says, "And David said unto Saul, 'Who am I, and what is my life, or my father's family in Israel, that I should be son-in-law to the king?'" David felt unworthy to be called upon to be the son-in-law of the king. Even though King Saul was wicked, he still felt unworthy. David, many times, was one of the most humble men that has ever walked the face of the earth. You remember that God made this statement about David, that he departed not from anything that God commanded him, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And I think that sometimes that all we do when we think about David, all we do is concentrate on that one particular time in his life that he strayed so far from God. David was a man that up until that time had walked very, very closely with the Lord. And the Lord was with David. And we need to pray that God will help us to walk with the Lord in the light of His Word so that the Lord will be with us. There's nothing we need anymore. There's nothing that you need in your personal life. There's nothing that your family needs anymore. There's nothing that this church and this nation needs anymore than for God to manifest that He is with us, that God is with you. I want you to notice again, go back to verse 14. That's the main verse I want you to look at. Please pay attention to the Word of God. In verse 14, the Word of God says, "And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him." David behaved himself very wisely in all of his ways. And brethren, that's the reason that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with David because David behaved himself very wisely. I want all of you to know Sometimes I say to somebody, behave yourself. Be sure that you behave yourself. And they say, what does that mean? Behave yourself. That's what the Bible said that David did. David behaved himself in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. If we will behave ourselves, the Lord will be with us. You know, the Scripture makes this statement. In 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 2, the Word of God makes it clear that the Lord is with you, the Lord is with you while ye be with Him. And if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you. So, it's a privilege to have the Lord with us. It's a privilege to feel the presence of God. And the Scripture says that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Moses always wanted to feel the presence of God. Moses knew that nothing was of any value and nothing could bring Moses joy if the Lord was not with him. The most important thing in Moses' life was to be able to feel that God was with him. Back up in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. In Exodus chapter 33, as God is talking to Moses and to the children of Israel about going into the land of Canaan, going into that land that was flowing with milk and honey, you might think, you might say, you might feel. Well, now, if you can go into a land flowing with milk and honey, you would automatically rejoice that you're going into a land flowing with milk and honey. But that was not Moses' feeling. Moses' feeling was, I don't want to go into that land unless you, God, unless you are going with me. If you don't go with me, I don't care how wonderful it is. I don't care how beautiful it is. I don't care how many natural blessings there are. If we can't feel the presence of God, we're not going to find real joy. And so it is that Moses, as he is being directed to go into the land of Canaan, Moses knew the significance and the importance of feeling God with him. Look at Exodus chapter 33, beginning in verse 13. Exodus chapter 33. Remember now, what does the text say about David? The text over there that we began with in 1 Samuel 18, verse 14 says, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Now look at Exodus chapter 33. Notice the similarity here. In Exodus 33, beginning in verse 13, the Word of God says, now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. God said to Moses, my presence shall go with thee. Don't you know that made Moses happy? There's the great assurance, my presence shall, that's a hard shall, my presence shall go with thee. And the Word of God says, and God said, I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, that is Moses said unto God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Doesn't matter how wonderful the land of Canaan is. Moses is making it clear that the most important thing to Moses, and Moses knew that the most important thing to the people of Israel was that God would be with them. When will God be with us? The Scripture says the Lord will be with you while ye be with Him. The Scripture says that if we seek Him, the Lord will be found of us. The Word of God says that David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. If you and I will just behave ourselves, if we will just behave ourselves wisely in all our ways, the Lord will be with us. And did you know that other people recognize when the Lord is with you? People can look and can see and declare, and they know. And people that want to get close to God, they're going to want to get close to people who are close to God. People who want to be close to God and be in the presence of God, they know and realize that one of the ways that you can get close to God is if you get close to and you're around the people of God that are even closer to God than you are. I encourage everybody here that you find friends and loved ones, that you get together with people that love the Lord with all their heart. You get around people who are full of zeal and commitment to God. You get around people and walk with people that are walking with the Lord, and you're going to find the Lord will be with you just like the Lord is with them. So Moses' number one request, his number one desire, was not just to go into the land of Canaan, but rather it was to feel God with him as he went into the land of Canaan. Doesn't matter how big your house is, doesn't matter how new your car is, it doesn't matter how good a job you have, it doesn't matter how many possessions you have, if you don't feel the presence of God with you, you're going to have an aching void in your soul. You're going to know something is missing. And if that something is missing, you're going to be a miserable child of God in this world. Your whole life will be filled with nothing but misery if you can't feel the presence of God. And David did what? And David behaved himself. David behaved himself in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. You know, the Scripture says in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the Scripture says that the Apostle Paul wrote to the young preacher Timothy, and he said, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." I need to know how to behave myself. Well, God has given us His Word, so we can know how to behave ourselves. And if we're doing anything that's contrary to the Word of God, we're not behaving ourselves in all our ways. And if we're not behaving ourselves in all our ways, we're going to soon find that the Lord is no longer with us. We may wake up like Samson did and think the Lord is still with us. I've heard people say all through my ministry, that were walking down a path to destruction, I've heard them say over and over, "Oh, the Lord is just as much with me as He's ever been before." And I knew they were on a path of destruction. And they would declare, "God is still with me." You know what it is? They don't know. They don't know that they've departed from the Lord. And they don't know that the Lord has departed from them. It's a fearful thing, brethren. It's a fearful thing to wake up like Samson did and find out the Lord is no longer with me. You remember how in Isaiah chapter 42, God gave a wonderful promise to the people of God that as they're going through difficult times in their lives, that if they have been behaving themselves, that He was going to be with them even in the midst of all of their troubles. You remember how, well, let's turn and look at that. In Isaiah, listen to the great promise that God gives here. In Isaiah 43, God talks about how He will be with them. Sometimes, listen, brethren, there's a false theology. There's a modern day doctrine today that if you love God and if you behave yourself, you're not going to be sick and you're going to be rich. That's a lie from the devil. You have no promise that you're not going to be sick if you behave yourself. You have no promise from God that you're going to be rich if you behave yourself. God has not promised His people riches. He has not promised them to be free of all kinds of trouble. He has never promised that in His Word. Listen, brethren, Jesus pleased God more than anybody's ever pleased the Lord. He was perfect in all His ways. And Jesus suffered while He was here in this world. In this world, we're going to have our troubles. You can walk as close to God. You can do like David. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. And yet David still had a lot of trouble before he ever committed the sin with Bathsheba. He still already was having trouble. You're going to have trouble. Some of the dearest I had marked and written down that I want us to pray for these people in the nursing home. It's some of the finest saints on the face of the earth right here. They love the Lord. They come to the house of God. We need to pray for them. Every day I encourage you, pray for the people in the nursing home. Pray for the elderly. Listen, brethren, the older generation that is leaving this earth right now, that older generation that is quickly leaving this world, they're leaving, and once they leave, this world is going to be a much worse place than it already is. Listen now to Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. The Word of God says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not." Did you know if you can feel God's presence with you, you know what you feel? No fear. No fear. If you feel God with you, you have no fear. Doesn't matter what else happens, if you can feel God with you, you have no fear. God says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I've called thee by thy name, thou art mine." Isn't that a wonderful blessing to know you belong to God? Have you ever doubted that you belong to God? Brethren, there's times that I doubt that I'm a child of God. There are times that I doubt that I'm really a sincere, that I doubt that I'm even a born-again child of God. There are times that I doubt that I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And most of those times that I doubt that, and that I forget that I've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, most of the time that I doubt that, it's because I have walked away from God. It's because I have not been behaving myself in all my ways. And I lose that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. That songwriter, when he wrote that song, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. El salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. At that moment in that time of that man's life, he knew and understood he was a child of God, redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That man was able to write that song because the Lord was with him. And the Lord was with him because that man or woman, whoever wrote it, that person that wrote that song had been behaving himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. After he says in verse 1 what I've just read, and he says in verse 2, "When thou, not if thou, passest through." You're going to pass through rough times. He says, when thou passest through the waters, what does God say? "I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." He says in verse 5, "Fear not, for I am with thee." Brethren, we need to feel the presence of God with us. We need Emmanuel. Emmanuel being interpreted as God with us. It's one thing, and brethren, I do look forward to going home to be with the Lord. I was talking to a man this week that his mother just died recently. A good friend of mine in town here, his mother just died, and I was seeing him for the first time after his mother died. And I told him that we were really praying for him and his family, and he said, "Oh, Brother Mullis," he said, "I'm so happy that my mama is home with the Lord." He said, "I couldn't be any happier." He said, "I wouldn't have her back for anything on the earth. I know where she is, and all I can do is say, praise the Lord that my mama is home with Jesus." You know what he had in his soul? He had great peace in his soul. You know who gave him that peace in his soul? The Lord gave him that peace. That man has been doing something right. He's been behaving himself in some of his ways at least, and the Lord is with him. I want us to think about what it means, and David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Let's think about that just a minute. I believe with all of my heart, and I don't think this has ever been impressed on my mind and heart as much as it was last night in studying and thinking about David behaving himself wisely in all of his ways. As you read through the Psalms, I believe that you will see that David was one of the most fervent praying people that has ever walked the face of this earth. He prayed. Many, many of the Psalms are prayers. He talks about, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which created the heavens and earth. David prayed and prayed and prayed. That's one way you can please the Lord, isn't it? That's one way you can behave yourself is spend a lot of time in prayer. But I believe that David's fervent praying is what led to David's righteous living. Think about that statement. David's fervent praying is what led to David's righteous living. Let me give you an example. In Psalm 19 and verse 14, the Word of God says this. David is speaking. David wrote this psalm. And David in Psalm 19 and verse 14, he said, let the words of prayer, he's praying, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. What's he saying? Lord, I want the words of my mouth. And brethren, if you just get that much straightened out, you come a long way. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Now that was his prayer. And as that was his prayer, that also then daily, as we daily live, that needs to be a prayer on all of our hearts. Lord, I can't straighten up everything all at one time, but help me just to take these two things. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart, let that be acceptable in thy sight, not in the sight of other people. Don't do it to please or satisfy someone else, but do it in the sight of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Now, that prayer led to David's words being right. And that prayer led to David's actions being right. The words of his mouth and the meditations of his heart were pleasing to God. He behaved himself in all his ways. He behaved himself in the things that he said, and he behaved himself in the meditations of his heart. The things that he was thinking about were pleasing to God. I just want you to just do that, okay? Just during this coming week, we want to just take those two things. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. If you'll do that this week, you will behave yourself very wisely. If the words of your mouth and the meditations of your heart, if they're pleasing to God, the Lord will be with you. You'll feel the presence of the Lord with you. James chapter 1, look please at James chapter 1, verse 26. Look at James 1, verse 26. Talking about the words of our mouth. Do any of you have a problem with your mouth saying things that it ought not to say? Do any of you ever say things? You know, sometimes have you ever said, I ought not to say this, but. Well, listen, if you say, I ought not to say this, but. If you ought not to say it, don't say it. And you know, and I know, there are things that come out of our mouths that are not behaving ourselves. We're not pleasing God. And if the things that come out of our mouth are not pleasing to God, He's not going to be with us. He'll depart from us. Were the things that were coming out of Samson's mouth as he was talking to Delilah, were they pleasing to God? No, they weren't pleasing to God. The Lord departed from him. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Lord, help us all. That the words of our mouth would be acceptable to the Lord and be pleasing to the Lord, and that we would behave ourselves with the words of our mouth. The Scripture says here in James 1, verse 26, James 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious, brethren, you all look very religious today. You look very religious. Do I look religious up here? Seem to. We all look very religious. But if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, This man's religion is vain. That is a frightening and startling statement when it sinks into our heads. That all the religious activity that we might do, if we don't control our tongues, if we don't bridle our tongues, our religion is in vain. Do you need to pray like David did? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. James chapter 3 goes on quite a bit. Talking about the tongue, I encourage you to go home and read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Let me close by thinking about one last statement in David's prayer in Psalms 19:14. He said, let the words of my mouth and the what? The meditation of my heart. Let the meditation of my heart. What do you meditate on? Listen, brethren, you can't meditate with all this loud music and television and everything else going on. Turn it off. Turn it off. Meditate. 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 Spend time in meditation. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Meditation of my heart. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways. Were the meditations of his heart pleasing to God? Yes. And the Lord was with him because the meditations of his heart were right. What does the Lord say to do? Thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart. If you're meditating on the Lord in your heart's right. The meditations of your heart are right. Brother Mike, what's your favorite verse of Scripture? Listen carefully. Trust in the Lord with all thine what? You see? I need to love the Lord with all my what? I need to love the Lord with all my heart. I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I need the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in God's sight. When I do that, the Lord will be with me. May God help us that we might behave ourselves wisely in all our ways, that the Lord might be with us like he was with David, is my prayer for Christ's sake.